Amen. Hello and welcome to Night School today. I am very happy and excited to welcome you to this meeting, specifically this teaching, Understanding the Gates of Hell. First of all, I want to appreciate diligence for some of us that have been diligent in attending night school week in, week out. I want to appreciate your diligence. A good God is going to reward you. Because the Word of God says that those that must seek God in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, must believe that He is. And is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, as you're diligently seeking God, you don't need anyone to pray for you. Your reward is there waiting for you. And so I just want to commend you and welcome you to tonight's meeting. Today we want to study the word together. And examine certain things in the scriptures. Our anchor text for this meeting is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 to 19. I'll be reading all scriptures on my end to avoid any interference. Now, before we read the scripture, I want us to understand that ignorance is a very important problem that we need to get rid of. That ignorance is a very how do you know is a very serious blockade to the experience of God in our lives. And so, when we are ignorant of some things, it causes limitation. Our ignorance can only lead to limitation. And so, if any man does not want to be limited, such a man needs to be equipped with knowledge. Now, there are different kinds of knowledge. There is the knowledge of God. There is the knowledge of the will of God. There is the knowledge of the operation of the kingdom of God. And then, of course, there is the knowledge of the world. And of course, there are specific knowledge of specific disciplines. But when I say knowledge here, as believers, I mean the knowledge of the operation of the kingdom of God. And of course, the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, from verse 18. The Lord Jesus was speaking to Apostle Peter. The Lord Jesus was speaking to Apostle Peter. He said, I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It is very important that we understand the context within which the Lord Jesus was speaking here. He said, I will build my church upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He then went on to say that I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus is telling Apostle Peter what he is going to do. That in the building of my church, you require the keys of the kingdom. And when you get these keys of the kingdom, you will become able to bind and loose on earth as the Spirit wills. Pay attention. So, specifically, the only thing that stands between the gate of hell prevailing upon the church is the knowledge of the keys of the kingdom. Please pay attention. Now, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. And we know now that Christ is the head of the church, and we are his body. But the Bible tells us that after that we have received Christ, there is something that is expected of us to do. The work of building up, as the Lord Jesus has said, requires partnership. So when the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, he isn't saying, I will just build the church independently without the church's cooperation. No, he didn't say that. In fact, he was saying that I will make what is necessary for the building up of the church possible. But the work of building up of the church is still going to be done by the church. That is to say, you are going to be the one to put the requirement to work if you are going to be built up. Let's look at the thing. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Even though the Lord Jesus has said, I am going to build my church, the Bible says there is something specific. There is a requirement to the building up of the church. There is an ingredient that is needed to build up the church. Acts chapter 20, from verse 32. He says, and now, brothers, I commend you to God, pay attention, and to the word of his grace. He says, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all men which are sanctified. Compare the scriptures. I will build my church. And then Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul said, I commend you to the word of God. That is able to build you up. One more scripture. I want us to see something important here. One more scripture. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. So according to Acts 20, 32 now, we have just seen that the word of God is able to build you up. Just hold that thought. Colossians 2, 6. Now, Colossians chapter 2 is very clear. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. He says, if you walk in him the same way you received him, he said, you're going to become rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. So, without doubt, the word is the necessary ingredient to becoming built. To be built up in the kingdom of God. Here again, the necessary ingredient being built up in the kingdom of God is the word. No man can become rooted up and established in the kingdom without the word. So any attempt to become built up, any attempt to build yourself up, Outside of the world is futile. I know a part of you wants to say, of course, there is the praying. Of course, what about praying in the Holy Ghost? Of course, we can pray in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 tells us what praying in the Spirit does. He charges us up. It says, it's when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we build up on our most holy faith. There is a difference between building up on your most holy faith and being established in the faith. These are two complete different processes. Praise God. So when the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, he's saying, you need me to be built up. And when you get me, you'll be built up. And John chapter 1 verse 1 makes us understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the Word revealed to us. So when I'm studying and meditating upon the Word, it is Jesus building me up through the Word. Go together now. We must understand this, that we are built up by the Word, and this is not against what the Lord Jesus was saying. Pay attention now. Now, if we are built up by the Word, what Jesus is saying in essence in Matthew 16 verse 18, that when you build yourself up by the Word, you will gain access to the keys of the kingdom, and then the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. So if you want to understand properly what the keys of the kingdom are, I would refer you to our previous night school teachings, keys of the kingdom. So you will see that the keys of the kingdom relies heavily on knowledge. In Luke chapter 11 verse 52, we will not be able to read it so that we can move fast. In Luke chapter 11 verse 52, the Lord Jesus was admonishing the lawyers. He said, woe unto you. You have withheld the keys of knowledge. You wouldn't go in, neither will you let anyone go in. And so you must understand now that central to the keys of the kingdom is knowledge. In fact, we have said that the knowledge of the will of God, okay, is the master key to the operation of the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Please pay attention. It said, when you are filled with the knowledge of his will, you have all wisdom and wisdom is the principal thing. It says you have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You will walk worthy of the Lord to all holy. You become fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, it says you become strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. This is experience of a believer. Everything the Christian walk is about, that's the summary. Praise God. This scripture, Colossians 1 verse 9 to 11, is a summary A summary. A summary of the experience that you are intended to have as a believer. And it hinges on one thing, the knowledge of his will. It hinges on that one thing, the knowledge of his will. So when we gain the keys of the kingdom, through our understanding of the knowledge of his will, then the gates of hell will not prevail over us as a body. So the Lord Jesus is admonishing us now that as a local body of Christ, we should endeavor to seek the knowledge of God, to seek the knowledge of his will, and then the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. So if you're going to understand the gates of hell, then we must draw something now. Draw something very important here now. That the antidote to the gate of hell, or say, what will keep the gate of hell at bay, is knowledge. The answer to the gate of hell is knowledge. The knowledge of his will specifically. According to the way the Bible puts it, it says the keys of the kingdom. So why then is knowledge important? I understand that we've not begun to touch the message really. Yes, just take your time. Why then is knowledge important? Because we don't understand the context in which the Lord Jesus was speaking and how they really operate, it will be difficult for us to get the whole scripture, I mean, the whole picture. Why is knowledge important? Now, knowledge is important, especially the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his will, because it brings a revelation of God's intention regarding a person or situations or anything. Now, the reason the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his will is important is because it makes us clear how God intends the thing to be done. Now, when we know how God intends for something to be done, it becomes possible for us to enforce it. Praise God. You cannot enforce what you do not know. Now, if enforcing or saying aligning with the will of God is important, then what it means is that we are standing against the deceit of the devil. Because you must understand that when we received the Lord Jesus, before we received the Lord Jesus, we were under the dominion and power of Satan. Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. It says that who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So when the Bible says the power of darkness, we need to understand that it is very different from the power of Satan. Pay attention, please. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, the influence of darkness, the dominion of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, the power of darkness that the Lord Jesus is talking about here, I mean that the scripture is talking about here, is quite different from the power of Satan as a personality. Now hear this. When the devil deceived Adam and Eve, and deceived Eve. And Adam also fell prey. He snatched away from Adam the authority to rule on this earth. And along with it, the power to dominate. Adam being a being and under God ruler over the earth, had both the authority to rule the earth and the power to do so. God told him in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26 down to 28, that dominate, dominion, subdue. God gave him both authority and power to do so. And this was what the devil stole away from Satan. And so from that moment onward, men were under the influence and dominion of Satan before the Lord Jesus came. And we see that even in the days of the Lord Jesus, that in Luke 14, verse 19, the Bible records that Jesus gave unto the disciples power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over every power that Satan possesses. Let's read that scripture from the Passion Translation. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. It is very important that we understand this. So to think that the devil possesses only the power to rule on the earth is a mistake. I mean, used to possess now. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke 10 and 19. It says, this is the Lord Jesus speaking here. He said, now you understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. He says, you will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power that Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. The Lord Jesus gave unto the disciples power and authority, I mean power now, to tread upon both the authority and the power of the devil. The power to override the power that Satan possesses. So there is an amount of power that comes along with the office of prince of this world. So when Satan was ruler of this world and prince of this world, there is a kind of power that came along with that office. Praise God. There is a power. It is not just authority. Power came along with that office. Adam transferred it to the devil. And then he kind of got it from there. In fact, he told the Lord Jesus that they were transferred unto him. And he's willing to give it to the Lord Jesus if only the Lord Jesus will bow. Now, this is very different from the core power of the devil. Praise God. I will begin to see the difference now. So Satan used to, before the Lord Jesus came, used to operate in the office of the prince of this world. And as a result, had the authority to do so and the subsequent power to keep men within his dominion. But that was not his core power. We must not forget that Satan was a being, an archangel, created by God. And so he must have received his own core power. He did have a core power, something that belonged to him, that God didn't take away from him. Praise the Lord. Are we together now? Colossians chapter 2. Now, In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, the Bible records that Jesus triumphed over the devil. He blotted out handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us. Time will allow us to read these scriptures. Colossians 2, 14 to 16. That Jesus blotted out handwriting of ordinances that were contrary to us, which were against us. And he said, let's read the scripture. Colossians 2, verse 14. I didn't want us to read it before. Yes, good. It says, he blotted out handwriting of ordinances that against us, which are contrary to us, took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. He says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, that having won over them, he took away their powers. That is what it means to spoil. To spoil means to take away the possessions of your opponent. Lord Jesus took away what the devil and his minions possessed over men. Praise God. He took it away. So what the demons possessed over men were the authority. Praise the Lord. Were the what? The authority and the power to operate as rulers of this world. However, the Lord Jesus didn't take away Satan's core power. Why? Because the scriptures cannot be broken. The Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So, yes, truly, the Lord Jesus took away Satan's ability to keep you under him. He took away Satan's authority to operate in your life. But he did not take away Satan's core power. And what is Satan's core power? This is so important to your understanding of the gates of knowledge. I mean, of the gates of hell. And that is why I am emphasizing on it. It didn't take away Satan's core power. And what is Satan's core power? It is the ability to deceive. This is Satan's core strength. The ability to deceive. Listen to me. The minds of angels, I mean the minds that is in angels, were more complex and very much better than the minds of mere men. I didn't say believers, I said mere men. Yet Satan managed to deceive one third of the angels in heaven and convince them to join his army. I am not glorifying the devil. I am telling you that his core strength is deceit. But glory to God, you have the wisdom of God to commit. I want to go there now. This is why Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Let's read. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. This scripture was talking about the armor of the Lord. Putting on the whole armor of God. And interestingly, you will find something there. The Bible didn't say we should fight. And this is so important for you to understand that as believers in Christ Jesus, it is not your place to fight the devil. That battle has been done with. It has been fought. The authority he used to have has been taken away. The power he used to have has been taken away. The only other thing you need to do is to maintain your ground, because Satan will come at you with deceit. He will come at you with information. He will come at you with the nuances of your flesh. And this does not require fighting. This, to overcome this, requires a revelational knowledge of God. Because it is this revelational knowledge of God that leads to faith. And faith will 100% win. This is why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that whatsoever is born of God has overcome the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Are we together now? So, what we are saying is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? For it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that we may be able, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Another translation calls it the evil tricks and strategies of the devil. The Amplified version, let me read Amplified. It said, put on God's old armor, the armor of every armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. This is the only thing that is remaining with Satan. Deceits and strategies. This, the Lord Jesus didn't take away. But he gave us, pay attention now, he gave us the keys of the kingdom so that Satan would not be able to use his deceits and strategies to cheat us. This is the reason why we have the keys of the kingdom. Now, let's begin to understand something clearly. That Satan's core strength is deceit. Huh? He is able, if he could deceive angels, how much more mere men? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible leads us to understand that he led his angels. In fact, the Bible calls the deceiver of the whole world. That is to tell you that it is his core strength. He led his angels to fight. A battle he knew they stood no chance at winning. He somehow convinced himself and convinced the angels to fight. And they lost. This is his constraint. And so, as a child of God, you must understand that your one of the most important things that must become a part of you is becoming, is being filled with the knowledge of God. Now, hear this. Every area of your life where you don't have enough knowledge of God, talk less of knowing how to handle, Satan is going to defeat you in that area. Praise God. Am I saying too much? The truth is this, that what you do not know, you can't experience. A law you do not know has been passed, you can't enforce. A right that you have but do not know about, you can't claim. A possession that belongs to you, you can't possess if you don't know. So Satan knows that long as he can keep you in a place where you don't know, or talk you out of it, even when you know it, you will experience it. Deceit. He knows how to get you to think along with him. Better still, he knows how to operate within the realm of the flesh. Let's have enough spiritual sense. We must understand that there is difference between the works of the flesh and the works of the devil. There's a difference. There are some manifestations of the flesh that They are not necessarily because of Satan. It is just the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Envy, seditions, strife, heresies. These are works of the flesh. Primarily, it does not mean that Satan is a force thing in the life of the believer. They are just the works of the flesh. But however, Satan could use that opportunity to partner with the flesh of the believer. Gates of hell. So, central to the gates of hell, central to the gates of hell is ignorance. So, the first gate of hell really is ignorance. Hoshea chapter 4 verse 6. The Bible says that this is God speaking here. He says, my people are destroyed. I find this very interesting. He said, my people. When God calls a people his people, please hear, please pay attention and understand. He says, my people, the ones I have called, the ones I have paid a price on, the ones I have redeemed to myself, the ones I have called my own, you name it. My people. The ones I have called to a special status. The ones I have given many places. The ones that I am working with. My people. He said they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, the gates of hell prevailed over them. They are destroyed. Now, it doesn't mean that they practically lost their lives. Hear me. It doesn't mean that they practically died immediately. No, no, no. What that scripture was actually saying is that their lives were reducing in quality because of knowledge. Their lives reduced in quality because of knowledge. And this is one of the reasons why Romans chapter 12 commands. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That do not be like the rest of the world. No. Become transformed. Have the experience of the new man that you are now. By renewing your mind with the word of God. Praise God. This is important for us to understand. Very important. So ignorance is, see, it is very important. Hear me again. I've said it before, I'll say it again. That any area of your life where you lack the knowledge of God concerning it, you are prone to Satan's attack in that area. You are prone to see the hand of Satan in that area. And that is why the knowledge of the will of God says it brings unto men all wisdom. He didn't say some wisdom. He didn't say wisdom. He said all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you would build a house, you will start from the foundation and continue to build and continue to build. And then you probably need to build the house in the proper way so as to be able to withstand the storm. No wonder. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says that grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So if you are finding it difficult to experience the abundance of grace in you, Praise God. That is ignorance at work. The gates of hell at work. Can't have peace. It is the gate of hell at work. And how do you overcome this gate of hell? The only antidote to ignorance is knowledge. I'll repeat. The only antidote to ignorance is knowledge. There is no other remedy. Praying can't fix it. There is no other activity that can fix the problem of ignorance except knowledge. In fact, ignorance can be so funny. It can lead to foolishness. It is ignorance that leads to foolishness. Foolishness is simply doing something the improper way. It is different from stupidity. We look at stupidity next. Foolishness is simply doing things the improper way. Doing things the wrong way in ignorance. So, when you have knowledge and you put knowledge to practice, it is considered wisdom, right? The same way, when you are ignorant and you are acting in your ignorance, it is foolishness. Now, ignorance will lead to foolishness, and foolishness will lead to bondage. There are many men that the bondage that they are in now is as a result of ignorance and foolishness. Even in the house of God, even in the church of God. You know, people used to think because we come to church every day, we pray in church, or we gather and pray to God, okay, we should automatically be free from bondage of any kind. No, it is wrong. Please. There's a reason why the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. It is so important. I will build my church. It is so important. So if the church is there, but they are not being built, the gate of hell will prevail. Hallelujah. So as a pastor, as a minister, as a preacher, you have to emphasize on the importance of having an experience with the word of God so that we can all grow in the word. Once we are ignorant, we are susceptible to the deceit and the strategies of the devil. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1. It says, keep thy foot when you go to the house of the Lord, lest you will offer the sacrifices of fools. To keep your foot means to walk in the right way, to walk in the way that is pleasing to God. To walk in the way that is pleasing to God. So if you are not walking in the way that is pleasing to God, what you are doing, any activity you may be doing, is the sacrifice of fools. So it is not like foolish people don't also sacrifice. Hallelujah. It is not like foolish people don't also sacrifice. The problem with foolish people is that they are foolish. This is wrong and unacceptable before God. Be wise. Be wise. Ignorance. A very serious gate of hell. Very serious one. And that is why The devil will try his best to keep people's attention away from the world and keep them focused on philosophy, ideologies of men, worldly wisdom, so that we can have churches of all kinds where we do all kinds of things except preach the word. He's okay with it. You can't afford to be ignorant in your life. So hear me this evening. Get the knowledge of the will of God. Get the knowledge of the will of God for your life personally. Understand the intention of God concerning your marriage personally. The intention of God concerning your ministry, concerning your work, concerning everything that you do. Get the knowledge of your identity in Christ. Get the knowledge of God. Get the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Invest some time in building yourself up spiritually. This is not something anybody can do for you. The word will not automatically come into your spirit because you have the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, the only antidote to ignorance here is knowledge. And when I say knowledge, please hear me very well, so that we don't make mistakes. I mean the revelational knowledge of God. I do not mean information. That's one. Our time is fast spent. Two, stupidity. We are going to look at three gates of hell today. One, ignorance. Two, stupidity. Now, stupidity is a bit more complex than ignorance. Stupidity is knowing where to get knowledge, but refusing to go there and get it. Shall I repeat? Stupidity is knowing where knowledge is, but for some reason, choosing not to go there. Knowing what to do, but for some reason, choosing not to do it, that is stupidity. This is the second gate of hell. Please note that stupidity isn't always intentional. The devil can influence you to become stupid. This is what I'm saying, that it can talk you out of faith. So he can talk you out of what you are supposed to do. That's stupidity. Listen to me. As long as you don't do things the way you are supposed to do them, you can't get the result that has been promised. I believe that's so clear. If you don't do it the way it has been prescribed, you will not get the promise as been prescribed. That's clear. Simple. So it would be stupidity to know what has been laid down ahead of you to do, but you're refusing to do it. But like I said earlier, this isn't always intentional. Sometimes we, for some reason, we listen to our senses, we listen to the flesh, we listen to the things around us rather than listening to the Holy Spirit at work in us. This stupidity. So whether it is intentional or not, it does not change the fact that it is stupidity. And so there are many believers today that know the right thing to do. They have received clear instructions in the word, but for some reason, decided not to do it. That's stupidity. That's a gate of hell. You'll be surprised too. You'll be shocked to find out that the gates of hell are not, how do you put it now? They are not very gigantic or spiritual things as you would like them to be, as you would have thought. But even these are spiritual things, and they are very important, because they are the opposite, the direct opposite of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And these three is key to the operation of the kingdom of God as a believer. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. If you read again Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, it says, if the first thing is that he prays that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will, that's the beginning. Then he says you will have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then you will have the dream life of a believer. Praise God. Let's begin to round up. The third gate of hell we want to consider today is indiscipline. Indiscipline. Knowing what to do, but not being disciplined enough to continually walk in it. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, as you have therefore received the Lord Jesus, says, so walk ye in him. What this means is that walking in Christ Jesus, praise God, is an intentional thing that, and a conscious step that you must take. It is not something you can leave to the Holy Spirit or to God. Surely you can pray and ask for help, but it is not something you can leave to God to do. In discipline. James 1:25. James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed. Master Jesus says, if you be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do not forget that deceit is Satan's core power. Now imagine if he can get you to deceive yourself. How? You deceive yourself by knowing the word, but becoming hearers only and not doers. This is pure deceit in discipline. I'm going to be hopping on these three gates tonight. Don't forget, number one, ignorance. Number two, stupidity. Number three, indiscipline. If a believer can get to the place where he is able to overcome these gates, he would be able to experience God as the word of God has promised. But do not forget, the only antidote to the three of them is still knowledge. See, it takes a man that is filled with the knowledge of God to know the right thing and to be able to do it. Sometimes when you know the right thing and you don't do it, it is because your understanding is warped. Your understanding is not full enough. Your understanding is not clear. And more knowledge leads to understanding. So tonight we are going to pray. even as we bring the meeting to a close. We're going to be asking for the help of the Holy Spirit. Even as we are seeking for the knowledge of God and the knowledge of His will. That's one. And then we're also going to pray that God grants us wisdom and understanding. Can we begin to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask today for the help of the Holy Ghost to be, as we continue our sojourn to seek your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit continues to help us in the name of Jesus. We ask that the Holy Spirit continue to teach us in the name of Jesus. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, even as we seek to find, even as we seek to gain your knowledge, to get the knowledge of your intention, your plans, your purposes for us, in the name of Jesus. And we ask for wisdom and understanding in the name of Jesus, so that we may be able to walk in a way that pleases you. We ask for wisdom. We ask for understanding in the name of Jesus. Grant unto us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Makena na bali brandu ne kenya liga sobrandi reke.